Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I'd love to welcome the people online who are watching with us. And it is a great thing to come around the Word of God. And I love the theme that we have for this year, Pursuing Jesus. And I just want to make note, if you weren't here last week, and you didn't hear Nick's message on imitating Christ, then can I encourage you to do that? And today's a little bit of a follow-on from that, and it wasn't planned, but the title of my message today is Can You Handle the Truth? Can you handle the truth? And so if you're going to imitate Christ, you better know who Christ is and understand his truth. And so... that is going to be the title of the message today. Now, before I pray and we get underway, I want to read from a passage, and I'm doing this very deliberately. Normally, I have some of my scriptures here in my notes, but I want to open the Word of God here, literally open the Word of God, and I want to read you a scripture today. And so if you want to follow me, if you have your Bibles with you, whether it be on an app or whatever, can I encourage you to open the Word of God with you now? The truth that is the Word of God, I would love you to open that. And we're reading from 2 Timothy, which is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 2 Timothy. If you don't know the order of those things, please don't ignore that. 2 Timothy's later in the New Testament, so please follow that. So 2 Timothy, and we're reading from chapter 4. This is a very deliberate thing that I'm doing right here now. And it's chapter 4, and I'm reading from the NIV version. And this is Paul, part of Paul's charge to Timothy. And this is what he says, and we're reading from verse 2. And it says, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministries. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would be your words. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would just touch every heart today and that would speak into our lives, because it is alive, it is powerful, and it is life-changing. So let your truth speak louder than just words today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to ask one of my sons to come up on the stage. We had a bit of a chat about this yesterday, so we'll have to see how this goes. So here he comes. He's dressed nicely. Give Caleb a hand as he comes up on stage. So I've asked to do a deal with Caleb. We do a little bit of trading in our house. Good trading, of course. We trade on different things. But have you got your phone with you? I'd like to buy his phone. Can I buy your phone, Caleb?
Sure.
And it's a bit cracked.
Yeah.
What happened to it? That used to be my phone.
Yeah, I think I bought it off you for like $50 with the crack in it.
Okay, well, there's a fair deal. How would you feel? Because it's got more wear and tear than when I had it. So how about I give you $50 for the phone? Is that a fair deal?
Sounds all right.
And so there's stuff on here that's worth more than $50, by the way, if I can get the password open. So thanks, Caleb. No worries, I'll keep the phone. No worries. How would you feel now that I've got your phone if I was to tell you that that was a counterfeit note?
I'd be a little annoyed, a little ripped off.
You would feel ripped off if that was a counterfeit note. So I'm going to keep this phone, and you can keep your counterfeit note, and you can go back down and sit down, okay? See you later. Just a heads up, that really isn't a counterfeit note because I don't deal in counterfeit notes. Caleb, I want that back later, okay? Is this on silent? Well, I hope it is. What would you do if you went and sold something for $1,000 and 15 of those $50 notes were counterfeit? What would you do? Would you reuse it? Would you take that counterfeit note and start to reuse it? Imagine you use that counterfeit note or notes. Imagine you used it. You took a counterfeit note and you used it. You know, eventually, that counterfeit note would be found out. Now, that may go through a few other hands, but eventually, no matter how close to the original the copy was, let's not call it a copy, let's call it for what it is. It's a counterfeit note. No matter how close it was to the original, eventually it would end up in the hands of someone in authority who knew that it was counterfeit. And once it got to that point, it would then be worth nothing. Have you ever bought into a lie? Is there something that's ever happened to you where you've believed something but it was a lie? I bought into a lie as a young fella and it cost me big time. I bought into a lie that it was okay to just dabble around the edges of, you know, looking at images that weren't meant for my eyes. To start with, it was only little, but I bought into the lie in my mind that it would be okay. And the outworking wasn't good. And eventually, I discovered that the lie cost me more than I would wanted it to have cost me. Let's turn to John 18:36-37. Jesus replied, and it's on the screens as well, "My kingdom is not of this world, nor does it have its origin in this world." This is him speaking to Pilate. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting hard to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world." Verse 37, "So Pilate said to him, 'Then you are a king.' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king.' And Jesus says this, 'This is why I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth and belongs to the truth, hears and listens carefully to my voice.'" A number of years ago, there's a study called the Truth Project, and there'll be some people here. How many people did the Truth Project? Can I have a raise of hands? Yeah, there's a few here that did the Truth Project. And in one of the first sessions, the question was asked, why did Jesus come into the world? And this is what they came back to. This is why Jesus came into the world, to testify to the truth. So what does it mean that he testified to the truth? Well, some things had gone astray right back from the garden, and Jesus wanted to come to straighten it all out and to speak truth into where truth needed to be, but not just speak it, he lived truth and he is truth. John 1:14 says this, and the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth. Full of grace, two things, grace, full of grace and truth. And in the brackets here, which is really important, it says absolutely free of deception. That's who Jesus is. You know, when I think of that lie that I bought into, I thank God for his grace in my life, that I was able to work through those things and the lie that I'd bought into and to see the truth. But I thank God that he is truth and for his truth, because that has helped me be guided in life of what is truth and what isn't. So what is truth? Pilate asks in verse 38, he says, what's truth? That's funny, isn't it? Way back to the 2,000 years ago, Pilate is asking, what is truth? I think there's, you know, if you dress like a politician, I think there's a lot of politicians at the moment asking, what is truth? Well, biblical usage, this is out of the Blue Letter Bible, says, what is true in any matter under consideration? Truly, in truth, or according to truth? Of a truth, in reality, in fact, and certainly. There's a scripture, interesting scripture in Ecclesiastes 11:3, and I haven't got it on the board, but it says, if a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it lies. So where it falls, there it lies. If it falls this way, it lies there. I think at the moment, in the time in which we're living, when the tree falls in the north, people think it falls in the south. That's how bad things have got. Truth in reality seems to have gone a bit sideways. Some definitions that we thought we were sure about are not so anymore. Definitions like having a different opinion is an act of violence. Anyone heard that before? Freedom is doing whatever you want to do or being whoever you want to be. Choice, well, we don't have a choice. We're told these days we don't have a choice, so choice doesn't matter. Identity. There's a lot of identity theft going on at the moment, but identity. Who or whatever we choose to identify as. Marriage between two people. Parenting. Well, that's just friendship. There's an interesting documentary film that came out, I think, early last year, and it's done by a guy by the name of Matt Walsh, and it's called What Is a Woman? And I don't know whether you've seen that, and it's a very interesting watch, and it's a sad thing to see where society's come to, but a lot of the answers, he would go around and he'd ask people. He'd just ask them questions. And he'd say, what is a woman? And so many people would answer this way. A person that feels like they are a woman. That is the answer that he would get. A person that feels like they are a woman. That's really interesting with how things are at. He did get some really interesting responses. And he ended up saying to people, okay, you can't answer the question, what is a woman, using woman in the answer to your question. You've actually got to describe what a woman is. Love, another definition, how you feel about someone until you fall out of love with them. How do things get to this point? Let's turn with me to Genesis. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open and follow, just as we started opening with the Word of God. But Genesis 3:3-5, it says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, 'Can it really be? Can it really be?'" There's the question. Can it really be that God has said, "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden"? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit." This is what God had said. God had said this. This is God's truth. He said this. "We may eat from the trees of the garden except for the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, 'You shall not eat from it nor touch it, otherwise you will die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not certainly die, for God knows on that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. That is, you will have greater awareness and you will be like God, not knowing the difference, or knowing the difference between good and evil." Satan's questions are really interesting. John 8:44, this is out of Jesus' mouth, and he's speaking about Satan, and he says this. He always hated the truth. This is in verse 44, 8:44. "He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." He is the counterfeit note. But he only does it a little bit to start with, because a big lie is, you know, people won't believe it, but he just does little lies or asks questions. In Ezekiel 28:18, it talks about, it's a bit of a picture of who Satan is, and in the New Living Translation it says, "You defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade." Other versions say, "By the unrighteousness of your trade." And the picture of that isn't that he had a gun or a bomb or a knife. It was, he defiled the sanctuaries by the dishonest trade, by the lies that came out of his mouth. So how do we distinguish truth from lies in a society where it's so grey? Well, we need to understand the purpose of the lies. It is to make you question God, and Nick touched on this a little bit last week, to make you question who God is and his character, which therefore questions your relationship with God, impacting your security and identity as a child of God. There's a book called Servant God, and here's an excerpt from that book. And it says this: "Satan knew that once they stopped trusting God, they would be powerless to overcome his temptations. Almost immediately, we see the spiritual sickness that plagues all of us manifested in Adam and Eve's behaviour. They hid," this isn't out of the book, "but they hid and they covered themselves from God, because God asked, 'Where are you?' And that was not as a result of anything God had done, that was a result of them following Satan's lies. But all of us manifested in Adam and Eve's behaviour, fear, hatred and selfishness. The central question in the cosmic revolves around the trustworthiness of God's character. Can you handle the truth today? This war over God's character, truth, is the real mother of all wars. God might have won the battle in the Garden of Eden if Adam and Eve had only refused to believe Satan's lies about God's character, about God and his character. Which is why Jesus needed to come to testify to the truth. Many people are self-centered, insecure, and unsure of who they are. And hello, because truth is a very fluid thing. There is no sure foundation. There is no cornerstone, as we sang earlier. It's very fluid, and it's based on feelings and not on truth or facts. One of the things that we hear fairly commonly these days is my truth. What is my truth? Anyone heard my truth? People talk about their truth, my truth. Come on, raise your hands. Get active. I was watching something the other day, and it was actually about Madonna, and this guy was questioning about how she'd done some work on her face, and they were saying that it didn't look fantastic, and the commentator there was saying, but that's her truth. And how are you to question her truth? Crazy stuff. In the Urban Dictionary, because this is the source of all great things that you go to, this is the Urban Dictionary on Google. You know, if you're going to go to anything on a dictionary, go to the Urban Dictionary because it tells you straight. This is a convenient phrase. This is the definition. This is a convenient phrase for avoiding arguments because people can contradict your opinion, but they can't contradict your truth. Your truth. And this is another part of it. Not the truth. Something someone tries desperately to convince themselves of to justify their actions and their opinions. People get to this point, and this isn't the definition, but people get to this point for many different reasons. But their truth is viewed by the lens by which they see things. Okay? Now these are my other props, so I better get these out. Just got to find the right one. Not in any particular order. I need these glasses to see what I'm doing, but I'm putting these other ones on. This could be, the lens could be that they have. Geez, it looks weird out here with these glasses. Some of you are much better looking than what you were with the other ones on. There's no lenses in these, by the way. This could be through the lens of education or what they've been taught. So their truth could be through what they've been taught. Now that might be good. That might be healthy. That might be the truth, but it may not be too. I'm going to have to keep swapping glasses here because I can't read what I'm seeing. So it also could be by their upbringing. So these are the lens that they might have. It might be by their upbringing. Stop taking photos, Serge. Might be by their upbringing, the lens of their upbringing. They might see their truth by the lens of their upbringing. You want to get this next one if you're going to get it. This is the one you want. It might be through their experiences. And their experiences might have been really good. I'm never going to hear the end of this, am I? But that's what it could be. Their experience is, they could be a bit weird. It could be a bit funny. But that's what their truth might be. I was going through the car park the other day and I picked up... Oh, gee, I hope I can get these. These are the wrong ones. I picked up these glasses. I'm not going to put them on because I can't. They had been run over by a truck. The lens by which they viewed by might have been a horrible experience that they'd had. It might be brokenness. You know, there's probably people sitting in this room. We're all broken in some way. And the lens by our truth might be through brokenness. And it could be also could be what culture says. Stop it, Serge. It could be what culture says. Stop laughing, Nick. This is meant to be serious. And I had one written here today, which is for someone here, because it just has not let me. You have allowed your truth to be dictated to by what modern science and technology says. And I want to try and explain this in the best way I possibly can. There are family units that are possible today that wouldn't be possible unless for modern science or modern medicine. There are things today that wouldn't be possible unless those things were there. Now, some of those things are good, but some of those things aren't the truth. So we need to wind back to the bare bones, the actual truth of things, rather than viewing it through the lenses that we all wear from different times. Ultimately, the best place to be is to be sure that your truth is centered on and lines up with God's truth, or it is just counterfeit. It is just counterfeit. The other day, we were for my other job, we were out doing some building, and we were replacing part of a beam on the back of a house, and we only had a certain amount of length that we had to replace it, and quite a bit of it was rotted out. And there's a term that if you're a builder here, that you measure twice and you cut once. And so we were cutting the rotted bits out of the beam, and we had one section which we cut out. And so I measured up, and I didn't just measure twice, I measured about four times, because I wanted to be so sure that this was going to fit, because I didn't have a lot to play with. And then we needed another section closer to the end, which we did. Now for the section, the bigger section, it was so broken that I couldn't use a template. Now, what I mean by a template is I couldn't pull the old piece off and measure it off the old piece. I actually had to measure it because it was so damaged. But then there was a section on the end, and we needed to get it right to fit the new piece in, and it had to be spot on. And so we had the old piece there. It was a bit damaged, but I needed to be exact in how this fitted. And so I want to illustrate this by this. And this is for someone here today. I took the template and I drew around the template to make sure that it fitted exactly. If you read or hear something that doesn't sit right with you, check it out. Don't just measure it once, measure it twice. Don't just read one scripture that's truth, get a line of scripture. And this is for someone else here today. Don't just come to church on Sunday, because you need to get this thing in you every day so you understand who the truth is and what the truth is. And use the template to guide you so you get the right fit. Double measure, single cut. James 1:5-8 says this: if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And in verse 8 it says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Don't have divided loyalties. Don't pick up counterfeit notes and use them. Get the template and use it. And the only way you're going to be able to use it is to know it. Can I encourage you today? God was on me like anything to say, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of truth. Get it into you. Don't allow wishy-washy counterfeit notes to get in and get control of your lives. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what do we do about it? Well, John 8:31 and 32, this is not complicated, guys. This really isn't complicated. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Abide in my word. Some of the other versions say, hold to my teaching. The message says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you. But I like, abide in my word. We need to abide in God's word. We are in a wishy-washy world that has very little basis of truth. Be sure about what your truth is and make sure it lines up with what God's got to say. And on top of knowing the truth, this word is alive and it breathes. And it speaks into every person here. You can read it as words on a page, but it is alive. And it speaks to you. And it speaks to you. And in John 16:13 it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. Here are a couple of definitions that I gave earlier, and this is what the actual truth says. So one of the definitions I gave was freedom, doing whatever you want to do or being whoever you want to be. Well, Galatians 5:13, one of the scriptures that talks about freedom, and there are others, it says this, for you, in Galatians 5:13, for you, my brothers, were called to freedom, only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love serve and seek the best for one another. That's part of true freedom. Choice says we don't have a choice. But my word, the word of God that I read says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live. On identity, who or whatever we choose to identify as. Well, Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Psalm 139 on the same thing says, for you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe you've bought into a lie. Maybe you're sitting here today and you know there's a lie that you've bought into. You might have bought into the lie that you're not good enough, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't want the best for your life. Well, you know what? That's not what the Word of God that I've got in front of me says. Maybe you've received a counterfeit note. Maybe your experiences have said something different. And maybe that counterfeit note and something tells you you've got the counterfeit note, but you know it's not quite right. It's time to give it to the authority and stop using that counterfeit note. And maybe your truth doesn't line up against God's truth. Well, maybe today it's time to make a decision to pursue God's truth with all you've got. And I want to finish, and there's going to be some scriptures up on the board. And I just want to read from the Word of God. I don't want to get it on my phone or anything. I want to read these scriptures from the Word of God. The truth is, and this is from Colossians 1:14, I am redeemed and forgiven. I just want you to let this truth wash over you. Just give me a moment to find these because I'm doing this a bit different. Philippians. Colossians 1:14. It says this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The truth is, I am redeemed and forgiven. The truth is, I am complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10 says this. If I can have the team up, please, that'd be awesome. If we can get ready to sing Cornerstone. 2:10 says, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Romans 8:1 is, I am free from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says this. Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is just a great truth from God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, talks about, I'm a new creation. The truth is that I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Keep turning with me if you like. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 1:7 says, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And James 1:5 says, I can ask God for wisdom and he will give me what I need. Could I get everyone to stand to their feet, please? Can you handle the truth today? Is there a lie that you have made of bought into? Are there some lenses that you've been seeing through and not seeing actual God's truth? Well, it's time to start digging it out if you haven't been. It's time to start seeing what God says about things and not just let what society tells us is the go. Jesus came into this world to testify to the truth. He's given us his Spirit to live by it, to live with it. He is truth. He is our cornerstone. Father, I just thank you for your word today. I just thank you for the truth of it. Father, I pray this is a great reminder for each of us to chase your truth down, to pursue your truth, to pursue you with all we have. Because your truth is the only truth that matters. And so I pray for each and every person here today and anyone who might be saying, I brought into a lie and I'm finding it hard to stop using those counterfeit notes. I pray today that your Spirit would just rest on those people. One person in particular, find I've bought a lie and I'm struggling to deal with it. Father, let your power, let your Spirit just wash over every person and let us run with your truth this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.